I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. I see the Lord seated on his throne, exalted, and the train of his robes fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is still, and the whole earth is still, and the whole earth is still with his glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord of Lords.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Savior. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for our being able to gather ourselves, Father, in thy presence. And we thank you, Lord, for your truth once again. That, Lord, you have so graciously, Lord, shown to us, Father, over these many years in our life as your children. And coming, O Lord, to grips with the fact, O Lord, without you, we wouldn't be here. And without a purpose in our life, Father, Lord, which you have called us into enough to be your children and to shine for you, Lord, it will be the same, Father. We will be out there in the world somewhere. But we thank you for your grace that you sought us out when we were young or even just recently to come to the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We give you the praise and the glory. We thank you, Lord, for this eternal life. We thank you for this knowledge and for this salvation, Lord. Father, even as we gather right this morning, we ask again that you guide us to the understanding of your word, that we may see, Father, the truth and the light, O Lord, that we have, that you so graciously, Lord, give to us, Lord. When this world is plunging darkness, Lord, as we can see now, each and every day, Father, all this news that are being broadcast, O Lord, over the air, televisions and radio, and even published in the newspaper. It's just so depressing, Lord, and that we can see, Lord, so distressing the people of the world. Many countries where life are just snuffed up, O Lord. Just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Father, when someone just blew themselves up in the public places, or rockets and missiles being just launched and hit innocent people, Father. And all this killing going around, and the hatreds because of it's racial hatreds or religious hatred, Father. And yet, here we are, the people living in this island, Singapore. Once again, Father, we thank you for this nation of where there is harmony and peace, Lord. And that we shall always be grateful, Father, and always be mindful of your love for us. And also, Lord, consider all those other brethren and believers in other countries, such as those in Africa, India, and other places too, Father, where they don't have proper law and order and proper government, O Lord, in place. And we thank you, Father, for today. Now, as we come together, sit under your feet and open our minds, our heart, and our spiritual mind, spread, Lord, to the understanding of thy word. For this we ask in Christ's name, Father. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, today I want to have you look again with me as to something which I want to just make better understanding of the two trees in the midst of the garden. And sometimes we say the two trees, we also say we all want to know what those two trees are, but I would like to title it as in the midst of the garden. How the Bible used the term. So, in these verses that we're going to read, we have read it many times, and Genesis 2:8 and 2:9. Now, if you have your Bible, don't just look at the screen, but turn to your Bible, and perhaps there is something that you might want to write down as you get to know better. Because when I was writing on this article and, you know, dealing with it, I dwelt so long on chapter 2 because I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to lay it out in words. Try to make people see the original sin. And it's not so easy because when you try to have an exposition on verse by verse, it's just impossible. You know, as I told you already, that to understand what the writer is trying to tell us, it depends on the scope of his thoughts. And if the scope of his thought is large, then there are more sentences that need to be written to describe, so to carry it across to the reader. But if it is a small scope of thought, then it's simple. It's just a statement or two will do. So, it is not possible just to take a verse of scripture and try to give an exposition to that one particular verse, what it means, you know. And so sometimes I try that, but it's just not possible because you have to incorporate some of the other verses later on down the page to make sense. Alright. So now in chapter 2 verse 8, we go straight to it and it says, "And the Lord planted the garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man where whom he had formed. And out of ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So now I want to use those verses that we have read commonly in this chapter 2 and 3. Now, I have noticed a certain pattern of the way that Moses wrote those words. So I just want you to look at this verse. Alright? Now, verse 9. You notice here we have the word sight. Out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present to the sight and good for food. Now, of all the words that you read in these two chapters, 2 and 3, where it talks about the tree and tasting of the fruit and so on. Now, as I said this, the Bible is written not in plain language. Alright? Which I very much disagree with the theologian. And everything that I take literal and this and that and all sorts of things. Alright? There are things that are literal. For example, Jesus walked towards Capernaum. We know that it's literal. Okay, but when certain mystery that are hidden, doctrine that are hidden, it is not something so easily imparted to man. God had hidden it from the wise and the priests, but educated ones, and give it to babes and those that will learn. Alright, so the word sight here, when we said sight, we talk about what you see with your eyes. Okay, sight or eye. So, but the word here is maran. Alright, so this word here is different from other words, the eye or the sight. Okay, mare in Hebrew, it means to see with the natural eye. And there's a whole lot of difference. Okay, and this is the only one time it appears in all of these two chapters when it comes to looking at the eye, see the fruit and all that. So this sight is natural seeing with the eye. Alright, now the next chapter 2 verse 15, 16 and 17. And it says here, and the Lord commanded the man, and the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress and keep it. So now here you need to understand, it says the garden of Eden. Alright? To dress and keep it. So that is not why, if it's a literal garden, you need to dress it. You need to cultivate it. You need to take care of, prune the plant and so on. And the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So now, I want you to notice it. The garden of Eden, to dress it. And he says, God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou may freely eat. You see the word here, Garden of Eden. So it's literal. It's the Garden of Eden. That's literal. Alright? And of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat. Because it's related to what is mentioned here. But right now it's about of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it. Now here, I want you to know this one strange language. First of all, you talk about the tree. Of every tree, you can eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat. Now you're not talking about trees. All these other trees, you can eat. This particular one, you cannot eat. Now you're talking about eating the tree, not eating the fruit. Now I want you to know how the Bible used those words. Alright, the Bible did not say, of every tree of the garden, its fruit you may freely eat. But of the fruits of the tree of knowledge, you cannot eat. It doesn't mention it that way. Why did God have Moses wrote it that way? Alright, that is what I'm bringing out this for a thought for you today. Alright, next, I want you to observe here. If we were to put verse chapter 2, verse 9, between verse 15 and 16. Now, because if we go back to the beginning, you notice here that verse 8 and 9. Verse 9 said, out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Here you have a semicolon. And I said it is in the Bible, in the original, there is no colon, no full stop, no comma, because that is not the language of the Greek, neither of the Jew, especially of the Jew. Okay, it's just written a string of words. Alright? And it's just that those who read it know where to stop. Alright, and pause. And so, here we have planted the garden eastward, in verse 8, planted the garden eastward in Eden. So you know that it is a true garden. It's a literal garden. And that's over out of the ground, which therefore must mean that there must be a real garden where there is soil in it. Okay? Alright, where trees are grown for food. Alright, every tree that is present to the sight and good for food. Alright? The tree of life also. Now here it is. This phrase, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden. You see, in the midst of the garden, very specifically, in the midst of the garden. Now, they must give us people to think. People should pause and think. Why did the Bible mention that? Instead of saying, oh, the life, the tree of life, and also the tree of knowledge and good and evil. You know, it just pause, and then this statement. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's an interjection, interpolation. Something that just put it out there for our thought. Okay, it just, I told you this many times, that Jesus Christ, when he was out there talking to the people, discussing about the temple, and then he shook forth. Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Now, he wasn't talking about the temple there. He was just interjecting a thought for people to think, because the temple that in Jerusalem that was built was traced back to the day of Moses when he started building that tabernacle. And that tabernacle shows the ministry of Christ, even the ministry of the body of Christ. You understand? So that's why he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He was not talking about that one, but he was talking about the one that he is the flesh of God that he dwells in. That is the body. Do you understand that? Okay, now time we talk, when you talk about life and talk about bread, he said, I am the bread from heaven. So he's not a literal bread, but a spiritual bread. So this is what we call interjection. It just shoot it out. Alright. Okay, so now I want to if I can put this verse 9 in between 15 and 16, so we can have a flow of understanding. Now, oh, Brother Gunn, you are taking the Bible out of one place and put it in another place. You know, well, just for your talk. Okay, see, you can see the flow. We read, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree. Does it make sense? It makes sense right there. At least you can have a flow of thought because we take the verse to look at it. There's no why you must look at the whole chapter in proper context. Alright? Because God will put a statement here, put a statement there to buffer the mind of those intellectual. Okay? And out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that's present to the sabbath for food. The tree of life also. In the garden, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat. Now you understand. Then he mentioned here of the tree of knowledge, so still referring to this tree of knowledge right here. Okay? Alright. And the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden. So that is a fact we know, the garden of Eden different. Alright. And all the ground. Okay, look at the green one. And all the ground. Make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present to the sight, good for food. So I want you to look at these keywords or key phrases that are there. Okay? I just highlight in different colors. So today I'm just getting you through to look at it in a way that is easily to be understood actually. Okay? And then we have the Lord commanded a man saying of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. And but of the tree of knowledge and good evil thou shalt not eat. Okay. Now if you look at all these, take out the color, God of Eden, fact, then it's literal. Out of the ground, fact, it must be a literal ground. Of dirt, dust. Alright? Grow every tree. Of course you cannot grow trees on the concrete. So the garden is real, right? Of facts, isn't it? Okay. Pleasant to the sight. Okay, present to what you see with the eyes, literal eyes, now what you see, like are you looking at an apple, looking at an orange? You understand what I'm saying? You see? And of course, today we have a lot of artificial fruit that looks very real. Huh? Okay, you know, oranges so look so real, huh? Okay, even downstairs here we have at the security table, you know, there were some oranges, the first one far, I thought it was really real. So you need to see, make sure that you see and understand that it's real, it's not real. So if real, it's present to the sight, good for food. Okay. Alright, present to the sight, good for food. Now the artificial orange, you cannot eat, it's definitely not good for food because when you know it looks real, but it's not present to the eye because you know it's plastic. Okay. Alright. So these are the facts that we need to understand now. The reason I want to discuss with you here on this topic, like a lecturer, not preaching today, is to make sure that you understand. Because denomination wise, people, the moment you talk about serpent seed, you talk about, you know, something which deviates from the mainstream fundamental teaching. Oh, it was a fruit tree, it was just a fruit. We don't know what fruit that was, but it's a fruit. Then you know they cannot see anything further, right? Isn't it? Okay. So in the midst now, here we have the other text. In the midst, in the Hebrew word, you have tavet. It means the mid section. Okay, the center. All right, the middle, the bisection. So now, why did the Bible mention so specifically a place? You know, as if that the two trees, well, you know, if you look at the map of Israel, if you draw it, it kind of have, and that's where you can see Jerusalem in that place. I know God, Jerusalem is a place where God deals with people, that's where the Word of God, you know, came in the very beginning when He put man, Adam on earth. And Eve on earth in this garden. It was there. The garden was actually there in Israel. But in the midst is where you have Jerusalem. The very place, Mount Moriah, that's where Abraham sacrificed, was to sacrifice Isaac. And that place was where the temple was built. So, you always read the letter to a spot. a place, a spot. Right? So God here is playing with wood. Right? Now, I don't know. Actually, you know, I find the Hebrew people or the Jewish people very fascinating in their... if you ever collect all these jokes, or you listen to joke and humor, and you'll find out that the Hebrew people, they're the most humorous people on earth. They actually, you know, produces a lot of human jokes. And I have a few dozen books, you know, not dozen, I think I would say about half a dozen of good books, fake books, joke book, humorous book. And I love to read them. And the way they express the thing, even recently I was just watching a movie, the Hebrews site, and there was this woman went to the market and went to a fishmonger to buy a fish. So they were all there, she was there with her friend, and you know, they were talking about this and that, and asked the fishmonger, "I want that fish." And I asked him, "Is it fresh?" And the fishmonger said, "If it is any fresher, it will cook itself." You know how they would talk like this, you know, it's so humorous, you know. Because everybody wants fresh food to eat, you know. So if it is any fresh, it will cook itself already, you know. So they're very humorous, and I can see that even where does humor come from? It comes from God. God gave us the quality to smile at life, to laugh, to have a little fun, you know. You see? Even Jesus Christ has a little fun also, you know, and when he talks about the Pharisees, snakes in the grass and all this, and even John the Baptist, you fox, you know, that sort of thing. See? So this is part of the life. And God's humor is, God's have this kind of expression in the Bible, hidden there. Okay? So in the midst of the garden, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This part you already realize then, it cannot be. Anybody who really study, and if really seriously study, but most of us Christian, for that matter, if you are in denomination, you will bypass this thing, right? You will not. Because you're told, sin came, because Adam ate of the fruit, because he was tempted, and so on and so forth. You don't bother. People don't really bother to look into it. Like what you saw earlier on that video clip. You know how so many years ago in the 60s and the 80s think that they triumph because they believe that the universe out there, you know, the chances that there are so many other planets down there, at least they must have life. When the Bible tells us that there is only one planet that is given to man that where life can be found, and that is the planet Earth. And they will spend so much money and on all these big sources, what do you call that, dishes, you know, the satellite dishes, try to pick up some sound, some echo, you know, E.T., E.T., come here, can you hear me, E.T. out there, they sing, and they spend so much money trying to find life out there. When the Bible already given you the answer, they may find water. They said they believe they found water on Mars, you know. So it doesn't mean that because they say, if there's water, there is life. Not necessarily. Because what kind of water it is, if it is acidic. Yeah. So there are many reasons. If God, you know, if all this vast universe, and the earth is just a speck of dust, and here we are. And God, the Bible says, what is man that he is so mindful of us? What is man? That he is mindful of you and me. Of course, today you look at the world and say, God doesn't care. Look, all the killing and all this, God doesn't care. Oh, God cares. But God has already specific a time. You see, for men to run the way they want. So at the end of it, the judgment comes, then they will know why. You see, why is he mindful of men? Because why? We were created in his own image. And his likeness. That's why he's mindful. You know, if we are just like animals, I don't think he cares. These are the millions of years ago, the first era of time where you have these dinosaurs. You know, just wiped out, punished. You know, but because you are here, and the Bible promised that God had to stop it. to cut short the day of ours, mankind will be destroyed. Right? Okay, next we see here, then of every tree of the garden may freely eat. Okay, now this is of every tree may freely eat, means it must be the natural ground, we know. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Now I wanted to say this here, specifically mentioned here, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat. But what about the tree of life? Means you can eat. Of all trees, you can eat. Correct? All trees you can eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you cannot eat. The God did not say that this tree cannot be eaten, the tree of life. First we know that here, the Garden of Eden, literal. Out of the ground, grow every tree, literal tree. Present to the sight good for food, you can eat it. He didn't say that this tree of life comes from the ground. And neither did he say that you cannot eat it. So what then is the tree of life? And see, the tree of life is tied to the tree of knowledge and good and evil in this word, in the midst of the garden. It is in the midst of the garden of Eden. It just threw a statement out there, in the midst of the garden. So that is to say that since God did not say you cannot or you can eat of this tree, God did not say you can eat of it, neither did he say you cannot eat of it. So since he didn't say that you cannot eat of this tree, of life, means you can eat of it, obviously. I mean, I'm just pointing out the way it was spoken, the way it was written, for you to see. Okay, every tree that comes out from the ground, every tree, no exception, every literal tree that comes out from the ground can be eaten. That's the reason why denominations don't seem to be able to use their senses to understand what God is trying to say, why he said like this. If every tree can be eaten, then can you suddenly say that this tree cannot be eaten? See? Alright? Alright, next. Here we have. Well, you know what? I drew this picture after when I understand the revelation of the two trees. Alright? First of all, we see here, next. The tree of life. One. That's this one here. I show you white, of course, white tree. Yeah. Alright. And then we have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the evil one, it's black. And it looks hideous anyway. Alright. Okay, at least this one has fruits. Alright. So what do we have on the tree of life? It's truth. Life giving, purity, eternal. Must be. Okay. So the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Perverted knowledge, corruption, death. Okay, so there are two trees, and it is said they are in the midst of the garden. There you go. In the midst of the garden. So he can look at a human body from top to bottom, 6 feet. If he is 6 feet, 3 feet from his feet up, and 3 feet from his top of his head down. And that's the middle of it in the garden. So that's where the reproductive organ is. Brahman don't want to use the word Brahman. Say, no, in the midst of the human body, you know what I mean? You know, those were the day in the 50s, Puritan era, so he doesn't talk so much about, you know, you don't talk about, they're Puritan, so you don't mention, you know what I'm saying, huh? You see. So, well, that's the human body is the garden as well. So here is something which we get to understand more as we look at it. Okay? Alright. Now, of course, the Bible, the denominators will say, well, what did the Bible say is a human body? Of course, they will talk like this. But as we proceed along, we understand more. Okay. Here we have the tree of life, and we have the tree of knowledge, and we have two laws. Obviously, now, we're looking at these two trees. What they really are. Okay, so now if we know that those trees that grow up from the ground can be eaten, it must be a literal tree. So those other two that govern in the midst of the garden, it has to be two laws, which we already that we have already learned. Okay, I would just want to show further things. Alright, so here we have two laws opposing, one the law of life, the other the law of death. And these two laws governs the garden of man, both spiritual and natural. Now, it is not just about the sexual issue or the midst of the garden as the human body, being in the midst, it's where the reproductive organ is or the sexual organ is. But also that these two laws are fundamental. It governs the spiritual life as well as the physical life. Okay? So when we talk about two laws, kind of odd, because what are laws? As I already said already in our last discussion, you know, people don't seem to understand. We know that before law was ever given, on Mount Sinai, there was never any law given by God. Alright? So when we talk about law, we are talking about law that are specifically written and they had a penalty to which it's written down that people must carry it out. Alright? To prevent them from, or to keep the law, prevent them from getting into a judgment. Now, but you say, but again, it's not that what God said to Adam. Of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. The day thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Now we take that as a law. In a way, because we know, we use the word law. But what is law? What is law, for example? Law wasn't given, not at all, in the garden. No. God merely tell Adam, of all the three you can eat, but don't touch that one. Don't eat that one. Because when you eat it, you die. But the way we read it as, thou shalt not eat of that. The day you eat of it, remember this, written down and given to you, you will surely die. It's just like, as I said this before, you tell your child, like, you know, for my grandson, that's fire that's burning. Don't put your hand in that. You put your hand in, you get burned. So you are just telling, of course it's the law. Fire will burn, right? Sure. I don't want to tell him, if you put your hand there, you're burned to charcoal. Now you don't, when you think about law like this, something is wrong. So here, that's what we said here, that it's in the midst of the garden, two opposing laws, something that is right in the center. Or we take, for example, like we discussed on Friday, gravity. We'll talk about what is gravity. Now, here you are all sitting down, you all cannot float, right? Yeah, because gravity holds you down. So we call that the law of gravitational pull, or law of gravity. When the gravity is that, you must be tied to the ground. So how then can you be lifted up and not being pulled down by gravity? So here you cannot just simply levitate. You can't. So what you have to do is to break it by applying the law of aviation. Break it. So to break it, when you need to break it so that you have to apply the law of.
And you cannot break a law. You can oppose it.
Oppose. All right. Well, I think that's the language. Okay. To oppose that, you have to apply another law. What law is that? We call it the law of aviation, or of the law of what? Of flight. Aerodynamic. Yeah. I mean, it's just what, huh? I'm not a scientist, so I'm not an engineer, I don't apply those things. So, to do that you have to, you know how planes are constructed, how much speed you have to take because of the wind and everything, so you've got to have a thrust and a lift, and so you float actually on air, on a stream of air. So if you cut off the engine, what happened? Okay, it doesn't stay afloat up there, you come down. Okay, so, are there two laws, or there's just one law? Or there's something that is there that we call law. Now, if you are out there in space, rocket goes up, you float up there in space, there's no gravity up there. Okay? So, what happens? You stay floating there, you keep moving, huh? As long as you move, and if you stop, you know, put the thrust back, when I'm just floating there. And you will be out there in space hanging like that. You agree? Okay. See, he will be floating up there. So, what law is there? See, there is the law of no gravity. You cannot say that there's no, the law of no gravity. There is no such a thing. The law of aerodynamic, there's nothing. You are just hanging there. But if you have a planet coming pass by, there is a pool. So obviously you come down. And that's all? So. So what we're talking about, what is law? Law is just a word which people use. This law, that law, this law, that law. But law is not actually a law as we know and until God gave it on Mount Sinai. Do you understand what I'm talking about? These are natural things where we use the word natural. Because it's out there. It's there. You see? So if you eat of a fruit, okay, if you take an apple and you start munching the apples, and what does the fruit give you when you eat of those of that one apple? What benefit you? It benefits you something in your body, right? Yeah, that's the law, because the fruit is supposed to sustain its nutrient. So if you eat, if you don't eat, you die. So you don't have to say a law. Oh, the law of eating, the law of not eating. The law of eating is that you eat, you live. The law of not eating, you don't eat, you die. You know what I'm talking about? You don't apply such kind of a words like this. But we have to use that. And the Bible used the word tree instead of what law we would say. You see, so there is something here in between. Something here in the center, or something that's right there in the midst that have these two opposing sides. The tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Alright? So which tree of life is the law of life? When you partake of this tree, you have life. All the time. You need to have, you must take, just like when, how do you continue to live? You must eat. That's the law of life. You must eat. If you don't eat, what happened? You get weaker, 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 and then of course you get sick and you die. Right? So we call it the law of life. So on the other side, the tree of knowledge is good and evil. It produces death. Something that is perverted, that's why it's called the tree of knowledge. Of good, it's good. But it is evil. That means to say that it's perverted. And that perversion brings forth death. Okay? Alright. So now, in the book of Luke, we just want to make sure that we understand this. For those who might go come online and learn something. In Luke 21, verse 29, it says, "And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees." What is represented here by fig tree and all the trees? And we know the fig tree represents Israel. Okay? Right. The fig tree represents Israel. And all the trees means all the other nations. Now this was a prophecy that Jesus Christ spoke of concerning the end time. Alright? As one of the sign. And we know that 1948 onward, from that time on, since Israel became a nation, all other nations, many other nations that were under the control of the British or the Dutch or the Portuguese, they became independent one after another. So the tree became, the nation were represented here as trees. Alright? And here we have Mark 8, verse 24. And he looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." Here was the record of the blind man. And Jesus was in the city, and here was the blind man that was brought to him, to Christ, by their friends. And when the friends brought blind man to him, now I want to know this story here. This blind man did not come by himself because he couldn't see. This blind man did not say, "Take me to Jesus." He didn't. He was brought to Jesus by his friend. And when Jesus saw him, he took him, and Jesus took him out of the city, because he couldn't do a work in the city. So took him out of the city, out there in the city, he took some, dust and clay, and spit on it and make it into a paste. This is very unorthodox. Saliva comes on out, takes some dust, make it into a paste, and now apply it on one blind man's eye. And ask him, "What do you see?" Now here is where we have that Jesus testing the blind man. The blind man did not ask to be healed because he didn't know about Jesus, whatever. He didn't ask to bring him people to lead him to Jesus. It was his friend. A friend believed that if they brought him to Christ, Christ would do something for him. And Jesus did. But now Jesus did half a healing, so to speak, you know, but Christ don't do half a healing. You know, and then let him see where his faith go. What do you see? He said, oh, I see men like trees. So he used this term, men looking like trees, walking. You understand? And that's what Jesus said. Now he began to confess it's true that he wanted really to see. And Christ healed him completely. Alright, so here I want to show you is that how the word trees are used and what they represent. First part here represents here nation. This one represents man. And then we have Daniel chapter 4 verse 10. And here was the visions of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel the dreams that he had. And asked Daniel to interpret. He said about thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. So what is this tree in the midst of the earth? It was referring to who? The Nebuchadnezzar saw himself in this dream in this form. But he was that tree. That tree represents the king himself. King Nebuchadnezzar. The tree represents him as a king and his kingdom. So you understand. Okay, so when you read tree, doesn't mean that the strict Bible would use certain representation. Do you see that? Alright. And then we have Proverbs chapter 3 verse 18. The Bible used the word she, wisdom. Ah, wisdom is always described as a woman. Oh, so sweet to have wisdom. Alright, next time call your child, if he has a girl, wisdom. Alright. And don't call your boy unwise. Wisdom, she is a tree of life. So you see, it's life. Because here personification is that wisdom is personified as who? Christ Jesus. Okay, the feminine side is always used when you talk about that. So it's not he. So wisdom personified Christ Jesus is the tree of life to them that help the little hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retain her. Retain wisdom. Wisdom is personified as Christ, the Word of God. So in the Word of God is wisdom. Huh? So if you want to have wisdom and knowledge, get wisdom, get knowledge, get the Word of God. That's what the Bible is telling you. Okay. Jeremiah here, 31 verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, for wine, for oil, for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. And they shall not sorrow anymore at all. So now, what is garden here? What did the Bible, when you use the word garden, not just literal garden. I'm not trying to show you how that the Bible, when you use the word garden, it can also mean other things, represent other things. Okay, so here, my soul shall be as a water garden. So, the word garden here is used to describe your soul. My soul is a garden. Why? My soul is a garden. It's full of what? Full of life and the joy of God. Full of the happiness of God. Full. You understand what I'm talking about? Right? Isn't it? Alright. And here we have Isaiah 65, 3. Of people that provoke me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in the garden, grow, shrine, and burn incense upon altars of brick. Sacrifice in the gardens. Yeah, the word garden means literal garden. Yeah, it is literal garden. But when the Bible uses the word sacrifice in the garden, here is a Hebrew word. Okay, in those days the word shrine is not used, but the use what we call grove. A grove is a place out there in the field, backyard, or what you have, you know, and then you plant tree around it and have a circle of space there. Huh? And that is a grove. And then you put a shrine there and some idols there and you worship them. You know how that, on the top of Mount Zion is a city. On the top of Mount Zion, and that is Jerusalem. On that top of Mount Zion is Moriah, Mount Moriah. And that's where Abraham brought Isaac there to be sacrificed. Mount Moriah, that is the place where the city of God is built. Now, it's called Mount Zion, or what we call now Jerusalem. It is a high place, it's a mount. And that's why even the pagan, they will imitate. Every time they want to sacrifice, they will go to the Bible. You read in the Bible, the high places. And the high places is where you find a lot of shrine. That's why even in the world today, you go to Tibet, you go to Nepal, huh? People like, even in Europe, in Lebanon, and all those places up there, and you can see on the hillside, you see the Catholic church, the Catholic will build a church up there, very high up there, quite a high places. Okay? And then, if not, they cannot have high places, then they would create a garden. Alright, where they put their altars there, because they want to beautify their garden for their gods. And our king here, you can see Singapore, you probably could see it. And those terrace houses, those people who are rich, you know, they have in front of their terrace house or the bungalow a little garden. And if they are pagan, you'll find in the garden sometimes there's a little shrine altar there, right? Beautified. Yes. Here in Singapore, in fact, many places, a little, maybe out there in some rural area, villages, which is left over of the island of Singapore, you'll find a banyan tree. And then you see a little shrine there, right? Under this banyan tree. So this is what the Bible used, sacrificing the garden. It's actually a grove, alright? Or in a shrine. Okay? Alright. So Song of Solomon, 4:12, a garden enclosed, or enclosed is this old archaic English. Okay? Enclosed. Is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up? A fountain seal. So now here, Son of Solomon, being that he is the, I don't know what you call him, sometimes so wise and become so unwise with too many wives, and many of his wives are pagan. Huh? They don't even believe in the God of Israel. You know. But, I don't know, he took so many women from different, you know, different nations and the largest kingdom. But here he has one special someone he really loved. So he said, I'm a garden enclosed with my sister, my spouse. It means is his wife, the one that his beloved, is a garden. So the human body is presented as a garden. Alright? And here the same thing, Song of Solomon 5:1. I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drank my wine with my milk. Eat, oh friend, drink, yeah, drink abundantly, oh beloved. So he came with his country, his wife, his beloved, and you know, in their love for each other, and he said, I'm come to my garden, and come a taste of the wine, the honey, and so on and so forth. So the human body is also used as a discoveries, a garden. So the word garden in the Bible, don't always think that it's just a natural garden. Depends on how the Bible used the word. Alright? Proverbs 30:20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She ate, she eateth, and wiped her mouth, and said, I have done no wickedness. So what is the meaning of the word eat now? We all know the word. What's the word to eat? Eat means to partake. So when we say the word eat, well, that's we said when we go to a feast, a food is laid down, and we can use the word let's partake. Come, partake of the meal that we have here, or the buffet that we have here. We can use the word partake. So eat can you mean the word partake? Okay. So this adulterous woman, you know, have committed adultery, you know, and then she just in the Bible use the word wipe. Of course, you don't necessarily really wipe, huh? Wipe means to, you know, sweet and taken away, to wash your hands. Everything is alright. I'm not sin. You know what I'm saying, huh? Yeah, nothing to her, you know. I've done no wickedness. And Psalms 127 verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he give his beloved sleep. Eat the bread of sorrow. Eat the bread of happiness. Can you buy that in the bakery? Of course you can't. Because it's not a literal bread. That you, when you eat the bread, only you have sorrow. You buy a bread to have a smiley face, you eat it, you become happy. Obviously nonsense. This is a figure of speech. Right? Okay. Then we have Deuteronomy 28 verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Now we're using the word, what is fruit? The meaning of the word fruit. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of the cane, which is the fruit, of course, and also the flock of thy sheep. The increase means the fruit, means your reward, the produce, the fruit of your labor, things like that. You know? Right? You understand it? Luke? Okay, good. If you may understand your adult suit. Luke 1:42. And he spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Right? The fruit of thy womb. May you have a natural birth, a healthy child, and so on and so on. The fruit of the womb. Okay, then we have Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The fruit of his mouth. What is the fruit of his mouth? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. You know, of course, whatever you eat here goes in here, you're happy. But whatever you speak, also. You know, some people get angry, curse forward at the word, whatever word, and everything. He feels happy. His belly is also his food. You ever know that, huh? When people argue into get into a fight and all this, they argue and all this thing. So he thinks he won, you know, he bought money, cheap. I'm happy, I'm full, really, my belly is full. That's what your expression. So the fruits of your mouth, the produce from your mouth, what comes out, your product, what you speak. That's not why we are all, you know, everything's about us that God has created. That is the law. The tongue, either you say good things or you say bad things. Either you bless or you curse. Is that right? Sure. Alright. Now, here again, as we look, just in mind. And the Lord God took the man and put it in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present in the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, and of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat of it thou shalt surely die." So remember this verse as well, and always look at it as a whole. Okay. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Again, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He didn't say anything about the fruit here. Yea, God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of every tree of the garden. The word for fruit is not used here. It's always straight to the point of that tree. I mean, nobody eat a tree. Do we eat a tree? You see the apple tree so delicious, you eat the tree. Nobody do that. You go and chop on the bark and all the root and the branches. Nobody. It's put it particularly to a tree, yeah? Okay, to that particular living thing. Okay. And then verse 2 says, and the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit." Now the woman answered in the way, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall touch it, lest you die." So now the woman used the word fruit. Why? Because that is a byproduct, that is a product. When you eat something of the tree, there must be a result. Now, if I'm eating of the tree of life, now this book is a tree of life, eh? The Bible, I can use the term, I said, the Bible is the tree of life. Amen? Amen? Now, if I eat of this tree, okay, it must produce a fruit. The result in me. Isn't it? So, if I eat of this tree, it means I'm eating the fruit of it. Because what the Bible could give me is life, joy, peace, long-suffering. Is that right? So, when I eat of this tree, I am eating those fruits. Okay, now let me go further here. And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For the Lord do know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes..." Now hear the word eyes. "Then your sight, your eyes." This word eyes in Hebrew is ayin, not mare, which is the only one time they appear in all these verses. Okay, now the Bible used the word ayin. Then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. What is the Bible talking about? Then your eyes shall be opened. I mean to say that you go to the tree, you're blind, you close the eye, it wasn't open, and you eat a tree, once you eat, or your eyes open. Oh. No, you're not talking about eyes like this. Because this is what ayin has two meanings. One, literal, the other one is figuratively. And most of the time is used figuratively. You understand that? That's one interesting thing about it. Is it? But if it's specific straight to it, what your eyes that you see with the natural eye, the Bible used the other word, my head. Okay, but here he always used the word ayin. And when a woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was present to the eyes, the same word ayin, and the tree to be desired to make one wife, took of the fruit thereof, he eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, they sewed fig leaf together and made themselves apron. Their eyes were open. How were they open? Let me explain a bit more. And the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. So look at this. Emphasize word in white. Can you see the key words there? The eyes open, knew, naked. All the time they were naked. Were they not in the garden already? The eyes were open, of course, they were walking around. You don't walk around blind eyes, you know. I mean, closing your eyes. I mean, you're not playing as people who think, you know, your eyes are open. Adam saw Eve, Eve saw they were naked. They were nothing to be ashamed of. But what is it that the Bible talks like this? That when they eat of it, their eyes are open. Open to what? That means they are understanding the sight. Not this eye. The sight means, if I ask you, do you see what I'm talking about? You do see. You see with what? Your eyes? No. You see means you understand. You're understanding. Huh? The teacher, you know, the lecturer give you all this equation thing, and all this plus this equals to this plus this equals to that. I'm very bad in algebra, actually. I hate algebra. You know. Geometry I enjoy. Geometry I have no problem, I can get distinction for that. Algebra I really struggle with it. So what is this, this plus this plus? Do you see it? No, I don't see. This on a bright part, don't you see? I see, but I don't see. So you know what the meaning of see now, right? So, the eyes are open, they are sight, and they knew that they were naked. No. Naked not has to say they were just naked. Naked means to say that it become something bad, morally bad now. Huh? They knew. The Bible said, and they knew. Knew means to know. All the time they were naked, they know that they were naked physically, right? But that language to know is not there. You know what I'm saying about? It's just like, thou shalt not fornicate. We know fornication is morally wrong. Okay? We don't have to fornicate to know what is fornication. But when a person fornicates, their eyes open. Wow! I have done something real bad. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that's when somebody you go to, you take a taxi. You sit in the back of the seat and then you fall on the floor. Then, woo! 1 kilogram go by. You put your hand on there and pick it up from the back of the taxi and put it into your, you know, pocket or into your bag. Huh? But you know that kilogram of gold bar don't belong to you. So you were happy at that moment, you were tempted. Then you brush your conscience away, you take it and went home. Then what happened? After you read about the report, somebody, you know, lost it and all that. And then you feel your conscience will prick you. So you realize that, oh, I've done a bad thing. You know. So that is what I mean by to know. Okay. So here we have Genesis 3:11-12. And he said, who told you? God said, who told you? Did anybody tell you were naked? You're already naked. Who told you were naked? What? Don't you know you're naked? God said you're already naked. What mean you told me you're naked? It's not a sense of being naked, it's physical. Naked means now I'm exposed, that I know I'm wrong. I know I'm morally, I've done something bad. So that is what means to know. That's what the serpent deceived Eve. You will be as God, knowing good and evil. Huh? But a fruit doesn't give you that. Can you buy any fruit in the world that give you wisdom? No. So it is something that was done. Okay? Alright. And God said, has thou eaten of the tree which, you see, thou has thou eaten, oh sorry, has thou eaten of the tree, not of the fruit, yet. They have taken the tree now. Okay, well, our commanding that thou should not eat. And the man said, the woman whom thou give to be me, she gave me of the tree. She carried the whole tree and gave it to me to eat. You see the expression here? What's the difference between the tree and the fruit? Trees and fruit. We come to this now. A tree is a living thing. You all agree that? It has nutrients which can nourish other living things. Obviously. Do you know that you are a tree? You all know that you are a tree. Planted by the rivers of living water. And you have nutrients in you. Correct? And you are and you're supposed to nourish other people with the word of God too. With your life. Am I right? Yes. So now, a fruit is the product of a tree. And unless it is consumed by another living thing, it has no worth. And it will return to the dust of the ground. So if you have a natural tree, the apple is up there in the tree or the durian and nobody eats it, it drops down. And what happened to it? Nobody eats it, so it goes back to the dust, right? The nutrient goes back to the dust. That's it. No worth. But if somebody eats of that durian, oh my, he'll be jumping for joy. Huh? Maybe he eat too many of it. I mean, I know that some animals eat some of this fermented durian that is rotting on the ground. And they get drunk. You know, ever see an elephant overdose and so with durian, all rotten one? They move around like very drunk. Alright, so, hence, the fruit is a reward, result, or a product received of what is in the tree when eaten. It benefits you. Isn't that right? Yeah. It's a product. Or result, or reward. That's why I said sometimes we all, those who in my generation, we always tell a young kid, Ni na bo cha ko. You all don't eat bitter. There's some, a lot of people don't like to eat bitter gourd. So when you eat bitter means that you know what you have went through in life. You see, so when you experience bitter, you see that's why did the government here give people like me, pioneer generation, a special, actually not much anyway, discount here and discount there, You know, because we went through nation building and suffered through a lot of crises back in those days, you know, building the nation. So, but a lot of young generation, everything is already here for you. Hand me down. You're born. Look at my brother. Look at my little grandson, Adam. He's born. Now in the generation of... You know? My. So it's so different. It's already here. And the currency is strong. You can buy practically everything in those days. Oh, my goodness. Me, I want to get some money from my dad. Even 5 cents. You know how hard it is to get 5 cents from my dad? You just imagine. Those days we go to school with 15 cents. 10 cents for a bowl of noodle, 5 cents for some drinks. And usually we always share. 5 cents you get a bowl of shredded ice, and we cut the two. You have one and I have one. So next time you pay, we have one, you have one. You know, half of it. But today, you don't go to school with 15 cents. You go to school with $50. Maybe something like that, $15. I said, but Brother Gunn, today the price is so high. You know, $3 or $4 for chicken rice. But now chicken rice, you can't even get $3 now. Right? Of course, we know inflation is there. But there's so many things here you can get, not in those days. So you can see what we're talking about. The fruit that we have gone through. I mean, the fruit that we have received after going through so much of, national building and things like that. Okay? Alright, next. Adam. When we look at Adam, Adam is a spiritual tree. Eve, a byproduct of Adam, also a spiritual tree. They were to bring forth spiritual trees. Isn't it also? Everything bring forth its own kind. The first bring forth, be fruitful and multiply. And to do so, they must continually eat of the tree of life. Tree of life is Christ. Now when we say Christ, we don't talk about the person, Jesus. We talk about Christ as the anointing. Okay? So because there are many Christs in the world today, and then many of them are false Christs. Okay, the many Christ means those that are anointed. So the word Christ means the anointing. Or usually we talk about referring to the Word. So Christ, the anointed Word and Spirit, which was ever present in the Garden of Eden. You believe that, don't you? That's why God came down every evening to fellowship with Adam and Eve. Remember? Yes. He is the tree of life. God is the tree of life. He comes to in the form of the Word. Theophany, come down, sit with Adam and Eve beside the rivers of water, and then fellowship with them. Alright? And then we have here serpent. Ah. Satan through him seduced Eve to eat of the forbidden tree. A tree that satisfies the five natural senses of the body, but corrupts the soul and spirit of all who eat of the tree. The fruit of eating the tree, of eating it, is death. The fruit, now, see how I use the word here. Eat the tree, the fruit of eating it is death. The fruit is the product. Eat out of that tree. You see, and the fruit is what came. You understand? Now, you notice here I put Adam in yellow, spiritual tree. Eve, spiritual tree. Serpent, forbidden tree. And Satan said the serpent was yet also a forbidden tree. Because it was the Satan that came to use the serpent. And don't forget that, as I said before, that there are two laws. One, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's perverted. The law of life and the law of death. God was coming down every evening to fellowship with Adam and Eve. You understand? Serpent was there, not yet as a tree to be able in any way to seduce Eve or Adam in any way. But it was Satan that came and made use of the serpent and now feed them a perverted word. God came down every evening to fellowship with Adam and Eve, and they continued to eat of the word of life, the word of truth. But Satan came through the serpent and now twist the word, give them a perverted word. Do you understand? It was a knowledge. Oh, you shall not surely die. The day you eat of it, you will be as God, knowing good and evil. Yet it is true, but perverted. Any truth that is perverted is terrible. Huh? And sometimes people like young girls especially are deceived into. Well, I think there's a lot of things that's going on now in the world. Sometimes I saw those videos on YouTube, especially they came in through the Israel network. And you know, you look at what's happening in the Muslim country, in India, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, and you know, where young girls were married off at the age of what? 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. You know? And how did the woman, you know, some women are trying to help them understand that, you know, you don't marry the girl that is not old enough. But today he's a sucker Muslim. I don't know what to believe in anyway. Huh? That the girl of 9, as long as reach puberty, yes, it's an adult woman. Of course, now it's puberty, it means it's maturity, yes, but that doesn't mean that their mind is matured. And married off. You know what? How traumatic it is for this young girl. 13 years old. And some of them, yeah, 13 years old, are pregnant and become a mother. You see. So, you just see how people look at it. The seduction, the wrong information they were given, they were passed to others. Right, oh, what about Toto here? What about lottery? You know, Chinese New Year is here, coming already. Hey, when I go over to the supermarket, oh my, long queue out there in the Toto booth. Long queue. You know, play lottery. They call it Toto. I mean, I don't know whether world call it, the other country call it Toto or not. I mean, you pick certain number out of 49 here in Singapore, I guess. Yeah. I mean, ignorant, but I want to stay ignorant of what's going on in there. I know that they are putting money here, and some people say $5 only, $5, $6, and machine will generate a number. You know, yeah, it's okay to play. Yeah, it's okay to play. Maybe you win a million. Oh yeah, it's okay to play. If you lose, never mind. You know, so all this temptation that is going on. Yeah, it looks good. But you know one thing for sure, this is gambling where people are putting all their money, hopefully that they win, out of paying $5 or $10 and trying to get $500,000, maybe $6 million out there, maybe one of the lucky ones and get $500,000 or $1 million. But whose money is that? It's not like you're putting investment in the bank, huh? It's different. Huh? This is not an investment. It's a game of chance to see whether your number comes up. Right? It's just a plain roulette, Russian roulette. One bullet inside a six-chamber revolver. See who is the lucky one to get blown off. Bam. See when you get blown off. It is. So there's all this temptation. And this is what the Bible is talking about. This pop into the house and come to seduce. Okay, twisting the word of God. You will not surely die. God said, you will die. No, you will not get burned. Put your hand in fire. You will not get burned. Or you will burn. That's what the Bible said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Alright. Genesis 3:2 again, we look here, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may freely eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither in fact lest you die. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, again it goes back, the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to their eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. The word wise here, your eyes shall be open. Is that right? That's what the devil, you know, you're making wise because you were told your eyes were open and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So this knowledge of being wise, you think, oh, you're wise. You know, in America, many in America, maybe Europe and UK, especially even UK is a bad country now. Young people going to college, high school, many of them have sex even before they were 15. Huh? High school, when they go in at age 13 or 12 years old, depends on the age. The first year they're up there, they already got themselves into sex. And boys will brag around how many girls they have slept with. They think that they are so wise. They know so much about sex. And this is the problem, and that's what happened in the garden, and that's why sexual problem is in the world today, to this day. Number one problem. Right? Yes? You know. And look at extremism in some religion. It's all about sex, that's why. Beat the woman, beat the girl, beat the daughter. Wow. They don't treat the wife like wife. They treat the wife like some kind of animals. You know, you don't cook well, you don't wash well, beat them up. And this is the same thing what was done back in the days of Jesus Christ. Among those religious Pharisees and religious Jews who want to put away their wife, not that they beat their wife, they put them away because they don't know how to cook spaghetti. You know, so put them away. That's not the way. You know? So how they all started. Alright. The first of five senses was the sight. You agree with that? So what did she see? What did she see? Here is the word sight. Remember? Okay. We use the word sight here in both senses, both ways. What you see with the eyes, what also you reason in the mind. After all, the serpent said, yeah, you will not surely die. The eyes will be open to your eyes as God, knowing good and evil. Right? So talk about that seducer. Look at me, how handsome I am. Look, I'm so handsome. You know what I'm saying? You know that the serpent was a handsome fella, huh? Yes. And at that time, yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I know in those days that I was young, I see a lot of young ladies read romance storybook, you know, young and handsome, dark, young and handsome man. You know, especially cowboy time, and a young and handsome cowboy rides in the far horizon in the setting sun. You know, with the girls and things like that. You know. Okay? And seeking knowledge. So she was in a state to seek knowledge. You think of that, what the thinking and the reasoning, your understanding, seeking knowledge. And the handsome serpent was there, look at me. Yeah, okay, enjoy. See things like that. Then the rest of the senses came into play. She ate the forbidden tree. Now, how I use this word. She ate the forbidden tree. She fornicated with the serpent, right? She ate of its fruit now. Once you eat of the tree, you eat of the fruit. Got what I'm saying now? That's what the Bible says, ate of it. She ate the fruit. When you eat of the forbidden tree, you eat the fruit. Got what I'm saying? Yes. Huh? Okay? Don't put your hand in the fire, it'll burn you. Don't touch it, but you touch it, now you're partaking of the fruit. Your hands burn. She ate of the fruit, and the fruit was Cain. In that case, a fruit was Cain. A seed of discrepancy. A perverted one here. Okay. Adam ate of the same. Yeah, Adam ate the same. And that's why one thing I wanted to know in the end of message, people that don't know how to explain this. You see, when Adam ate of the same, in what way? He partook of the tree. That's why end of message, don't see the picture. They just say, the serpent was the tree. Eve fornicated with the serpent. Then Eve gave the serpent to Adam. Adam fornicated with the serpent. Homosexual act, is it? Of course, they don't say that, but I'm asking them. Because that's what the denomination has been asking me. Because of what they have learned from the Branhamites. You say that Eve has sex with the serpent, who is the forbidden tree? Then what did Eve, what did Adam partake? And a party of the same tree, which is a serpent. So are you telling me that it's homosexual act? You understand what I'm talking about? You see, they fail to understand. That the tree was not just the serpent. The tree was what? It's the knowledge of good and evil. It's what you have out here that you think is good. But what did Adam actually partake? Adam, the Bible said, first of all right, what we do here? Adam ate of the same which when he identified the Eve's folly. That's what he did. That's not why the sin of Adam brought death to mankind. But what had he done? Remember this revelation that I gave it to you? And I don't think anybody understood that. Until when the Lord gave it to me and I wrote the book and I preached on it, the sin of Adam. What had he done? What had Adam actually done? Huh? That's the mystery here. So in denomination it's simple. It's a natural tree. It took a fruit, bite on it. Very nice. Adam, take it. Adam, very nice. So they sin. Very simple, right? No complication. But that's not the meaning. The anti-message people have a problem trying to explain it. Do you understand? So what had Adam done? Adam identified with it. Okay. Eve was deceived, the Bible said, and in transgression. Amen? The Bible and Adam and Paul said, Adam was not deceived, though he was in transgression. Is that not true? Adam was not deceived. But he was in transgression. How did he, what happened to him? The thing is, what happened to him? Romans. That's why we find this in Romans, an understanding here. Romans 15, chapter 5, 7, 12 to 17. Therefore, just as to one man sin entered the world, death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Who is the type, who is the figure, as you say, type, of him, who is him, Christ, who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, it's not the same as the offense, because it's an anti-type. And this, few people really do understand. Types and anti-type. What Adam did, brought death. What Christ did, in reverse, not like the offense, but he brought life. Okay? For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, but for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in the condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man offense death ruined through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and not and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And with it. But let me close right now here. Let me close with this to you understand. What did Adam, what had he done actually? Simple as this, I said this before. If already committed an adultery, or we say a fornication. Remember that the woman Eve was given to the man Adam to be a wife. It's his. Okay, but before Adam and Eve could come together in holy wedlock, so to speak, to produce a child to conceive, the devil or Satan, through the serpent, got to Eve first, seduce her, and she with her own desire to think that, well, if I partake of this, maybe I understand more about life, I'd be wiser, I'd be like God to know things. So she fornicated with the serpent. So now that means to say that she was no longer Adam's wife. Yeah, the man was engaged the woman to be married. Few days before the marriage would take place, she went and slept with another man. In the eyes of God, she is no longer his. No longer Adam's. She belongs to the serpent. The tree, spiritual tree that was Eve was seduced by a forbidden tree. That man is not your husband. You got it? So, what happened here? The Bible said that when you take that tree, trying to be wise, and even in the sexual reproduction, you misused it. So, death came upon the Eve. But what do you think Adam would do? Adam could not stand idly by. Because after all, as I said this, if God judged Eve and put it, and she died, Adam would not have another wife. Why not, brother God? I was always told, why not? God can give Adam another wife. Say, yeah, God can give another wife if you are God. But in the wisdom of God, what we see in the Bible already said so, right? Thou art born of my bone, thou art flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall man leave father and mother and join to his wife. And these two shall be one flesh. God did not make two wives. The Bible said God took only one rib, representation of one. Is that alright? Never there were two. And that's why God, watching what Adam would do. And Adam was not deceived. He was deceived to break the law. Adam was not deceived to break the law. Adam willingly stood out of the word of God, out of the law of God to save Eve. That's why the Bible was this very specific. To state, he was deceived and was in transgression. Adam was not deceived. Okay? In the same passage of scripture. He was deceived and in transgression. Adam was not deceived. That's all. But in another place, yes. The Bible talks about non-transgression. Say Adam transgressed. Sure. But he was not deceived. Remember? He stood out and took back Eve. But how do you take back Eve? You have to identify in the same. My revelation was so wrong on that. Adam had to identify the same with the wife, just as Christ identified the same with us. Came in simple flesh to feel the passion and died for us according to the Lord of God that was required. Adam had to do the same. Take Eve back to herself. Which is the thing that she shouldn't do. You understand? Because it was forbidden. So Eve became a forbidden tree in one sense of the word because she's married to the Mr. Forbidden Tree. Right? You understand what I'm talking about now? But Adam took her back, identified with her. You see, she's not his, she belongs to somebody else. But Adam redeemed her. Hey, we are born in sin. Who is the God of this evil world? Satan. He has the right to you and me. Right? What did Jesus do? He came to identify with us to take us back. Telling Satan, you lay your hand off! These people are my wife. And that's what Satan, what Adam did. Lay your hand off, Satan! And Mr. Forbidden, serpent, it's not your wife, it's mine. I'm willing to pay the price. I'll lay down my life for my wife Eve. And that's why, because what Adam did, he brought this one offense, brought the whole world into sin. But God knew what Adam would do, and Adam didn't do it wrong. Only that God allows it to happen. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Right? What Romans 8:20 say? Have you forgotten? Stick to it. Always remember Romans 8:20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Romans 8:20. You understand that? The creature was not made subject to vanity, was not forced by God. Alright, not willingly. God knows it will happen, and God was watching what Adam would do, and he knew that Adam would do the right thing to save Eve. Otherwise, there is no mankind. And God already from the beginning says, I want a family. You see that? And so, as Paul said, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, allows it to go through vanity. Allows it to go to pain and suffering. Otherwise, if Adam didn't do anything to rescue Eve back, you will not be here. I will not be here. And there will be no people on this planet except Adam. All by himself, with all the animals for his companion, and which God already said, there was not find a helpmeet for his need. See that? So I hope you understand now. In the midst of the garden, it just that one center spot. Alright, what direction you want to go? Go right direction to take the law of life or the tree of life, or go that direction that goes in case of that knowledge of good and evil. And this world, a whole lot of things in this world that are just filled with this knowledge of good and evil stuff now. So when the Lord gives us wisdom, that we continue to eat of this word. This is the tree of life. Christ is the tree of life. God is the tree of life. And you are also a tree of life because Christ produces you. Remember, unless a grain of seed die and bury in the ground, it will not bring forth much fruit. But Jesus was that seed. He will lay his life down and he bring forth you and me. You are the seed of God. We are seeds of God. Amen. And therefore, we are trees of life too. And may we shine for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless thy holy name. Thank you, Father, for your word. Guide us, O Lord, to a closer walk with you, and all that which you have learned, Father. What is knowledge to us, Father, of thy word? What is doctrine? What is teaching? If our life, Father, does not reflect you, if our life, O Lord, is not reflecting Christ Jesus, if our life, O Father, Lord, is not glorifying thy name. So, Father, help us to be sincere, Lord, and humble and filled with your love and your word and the Spirit, that you will shine forth Christ in our life, Father. Help us, O Lord Jesus, and may all we love one another continually, and we know there's a lot of foolishness going on in the world today, and help us not to be like that, Father. Help us to redeem our time and to wisely spend it, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for this word of truth today, for the word of life. We commit all things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.